Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. We're back in the studio, and Steve will be back inside the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of pre-owned inventory and a great selection of new inventory with a great sales staff that is there for you and not just there for the sale, whether you're looking for that pre-owned or that brand-new car, and a service department that's there for you for all the diagnostics, the inspections, the routine maintenance, and they are also looking for more technicians to work in that fabulous service department. Whether you're looking for your first job, career change, looking for people in the quick lane, the car and light truck service, heavy truck, body frame and alignment, they're looking for everybody. Give Todd a call. You can also go to sunburymotors.com or apply in person as well at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Want to thank everybody that came out to Penn's Tavern yesterday for the Neil Mertz Frenzy. It was great to see everybody. Great to see Steve in person as well. And it was good to recap a victory in Auburn yesterday. So if you missed any of that, you can check it out on the podcast as well, wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we got another loaded show. Neil Coulong recaps the Steelers' loss to the Patriots at 3:35 today. The King is going to join us today for picks. I am going camping the rest of the week, so we're going to do picks today instead on a Tuesday, so we get that ready to go. I'll be back on Monday. And then we have Barrett Brooks, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Eagles pre- and post-game live. You see him on Bird's Huddle, too. Former Eagles player, former Steelers player. He'll join us at 4:35 to recap what was a monster win, statement win for the Eagles last night on Monday Night Football, home opener at the Link, 24-7 over the Minnesota Vikings. I was stunned, and I'm very excited from what I saw last night. Now it's week two, you know, I'm trying to temper the excitement, but you can't help but notice how dangerous and potent the offense looks for the Eagles, and it was a good bounce-back game for the defense last night. Now, it's still not perfect. The offense had still too many penalties last night. The ineligible man downfield penalties need to be corrected, and I tweeted this out last night. Nick Sirianni's in year two, and this was a problem last year in year one. They have to be fixed. That has to be corrected. There's no answer, if, ands, or buts about it. Because really, the Eagles were shooting themselves in the foot was the only reason why they were stopped last night, especially in the second half. The Vikings had no answer for the Eagles' offense. None. But on the defensive side, pass rush got better in the second half. It was helped finally with Jonathan Gannon dialing up some blitzes. But the secondary was just total lockdown. I mean, Darius Slay, that's as good as you're going to get. He was awesome last night. Bradberry was good, too. There were a number of pass breakups. I think 11 total last night for the Eagles defense. Put in a couple of tough spots, and they give up no points after the blocked field goal and after a interception, which off the butterfingers of Kenny Gainwell. I mean, that's as good as it gets for the defense last night, and there's still a lot of room to improve. The pass rush still needs to be more consistent. No question about that. But they were much better against the run. Dalvin Cook was a non-factor. I mean, everybody was, really. But that was my big concern, was how were they going to respond against the run after they got pounded on by the Lions in week one against DeAndre Swift, who's a pretty good back, but Dalvin Cook is one of the best in the league, and he was a total non-factor. They handled Justin Jefferson extremely well. Thielen was a non-factor until he got a couple of catches at the end. That looked really, really promising. Now, again, it is still very early in the season. A lot of different things can happen, but that was very, very promising. And Jalen Hurts, he made a statement himself last night with that performance. He really did. That run, the 26-yard run on third down to make it 21-7, was incredible. It was an incredible play. Best I've ever seen him throwing the ball. Most confident and decisive I've seen him with the ball. Best deep ball thrown. I still think that he's getting way too many carries, and he's still taking a little too many hits. But he was outstanding last night, and he made a statement that, yeah, he is going to be the franchise guy for the Eagles. No ifs, ands, or buts about it anymore, pretty much, I would think, at least for me. There's no way you can question him after that performance last night. Is that still a good defense that he carved up in the first half? That's a good defense. And the Lions was an improved defense last week on the road. So that was pretty exciting to watch for the Eagles last night. And now they get ready for Carson Wentz and the Commanders on Sunday afternoon. And then the other game last night, Buffalo just dismantling Tennessee, which actually I thought was very possible. Tennessee, there's something not right with that team. They clearly miss A.J. Brown, who of course now is just dialing it up with the Eagles. But Buffalo obviously looks very strong, and they did it once again on a national stage last night. Stephon Diggs, the monster game he had. Josh Allen, of course, looks unstoppable. So you had two dominating performances from the Bills and the Eagles last night. So we'll recap all that coming up today. And a whole lot more. Plus, we got some sound from James Franklin's weekly press conference today, recapping, putting a bow on the Auburn game. And now looking ahead to Central Michigan, which is a noon kick on Saturday. Tailgate show at 10:30 right here on WKOK. And then, as we said on the show yesterday, the Northwestern game is a 3:30 kick in 2 weeks from now. And then the bye week, and then you get ready for Michigan after that. So exciting times, lots to get to today. Neil Coulong today, King today, Barrett Brooks today. Looking forward to it. Steve will join us next from the Sunbury Motors Studio as we continue here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Then when you talk about players of the games and things like offensively, we went with our offensive line, talking about really who we view as seven starters. That's Olu, Landon, Juice, Sal, Caden, Bryce Effner, and Hunter Norzad, guys that are all playing ton for us. Obviously, I do think this past weekend with zero sacks and be able to run the ball the way we ran the ball and being on the road and handle crowd noise, that I do think it was a step in the right direction. But we still have work to do, and I'm still not ready to pound the table.
Another dissatisfying answer for Matt. No answer satisfies him unless it's laced with controversy.
Well, in this case, I just like to see some continuity built, but obviously they're in a good
what the
rotation
heck are you
now.
Talking? No. What are you talking about, continuity built? What are you talking about?
Like to have the same five guys on the line.
They are the same five guys on the line.
Yeah, but you still have guys rotating in, though. You still have, like, Hunter Norzad, because he calls it seven.
It's a three-and-a-half-hour game. You know how long the game is?
I know.
Oh my God! All right, let's move on because I'm sorry. Do you know how you always use the word? What word do you use? You don't like what?
Stupid.
Yeah, don't do that. All right. No offense, what you're saying makes zero sense. Like, I'm talking nada, zip, zilch.
Well, that's why he's there and I'm here. It's working. Whatever he's doing is working. So.
And it looks good. Can't. When Efner plays a lot, when they go six offensive linemen, he'll come in the game. Then he'll go in for Wallace, maybe occasionally. It's just to rotate guys out. I have no idea what you're talking about. I really don't. I mean that. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I'm not kidding around this time. I'm sorry. I have no use for that comment. You need days off. Oh, that's right. You're taking a whole bunch again. All right. So your team won last night.
Yes, sir.
And the best-looking team of the night was Buffalo. I mean, by a wide margin. Buffalo played great last night. The first half of the schedule for Buffalo was really pretty tough. The second half for Buffalo, it really eases up, which is interesting when you look at it. The Eagles' schedule, where is it? The Eagles have a chance to have a great season, and guess what? They don't have a schedule. My goodness. Who are the tough teams in their schedule? Who? They got a game with Green Bay, right?
Yeah, that'll be later on in the year on a Sunday night.
It's like Thanksgiving weekend?
Yeah.
Something like that. Dick and Milton's on the line. Did not realize that. I don't have the call screener, so I don't, I lost that a while ago. You guys never gave it back to me. I feel like I'm on double secret probation.
Yeah, I know. That's something we're still working on.
I'm on double secret probation. What's going on here? Dick, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. Hey, I thought about this yesterday. This has more to do with the portal in college football. How much sooner do you think football coaches are now on the hot seat with their players coming and going as fast as they are?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Herm Edwards has lost his job. I read where the Auburn coach is now already on. They're talking about his replacements already. Without the portal, I don't know if this would have happened as fast, some of this stuff.
Because,
the come and go so fast.
Well,
it's almost like you're not coaching 4-year teams. You're coaching almost 1-year teams
right
now.
I agree with you. And your point's way better than whatever that point Matt was making about the offensive line. I just still don't get that.
Well,
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
But you're right. Because there is a perception that you can rebuild fast through the portal, you're now getting a shorter leash to do it. In other words, instead of saying, hey, look, give me 4 or 5 years so I can get all my recruiting classes together, what has happened is that people looked at what Mel Tucker did last year at Michigan State. Brought in 25 transfers. 18 of them were FBS transfers. And boom, they're in the Peach Bowl. I think we lost Dick. Did we lose Dick?
No, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
I was just listening.
Okay. Oh, sorry about that. And suddenly they're in the Peach Bowl. Now everybody thinks that's the formula of success, that quick fix. And I think you're right. And the leash is short. And I always find it interesting to say, well, now it gives us time to find the right guy. Well, you're not going to hire somebody now. It's just an opportunity for them to get all the information from all the agents. And that's what that's what they're doing. They're making quick
fixes.
Well,
I'll give you a prime example. Notre Dame, when they lost their games, a couple games there, and then I was looking, they were down by California a while, and I thought, holy crap, if they lose another game, their coach will be on the hot seat this fast already.
Yeah, because they lost that game. Because remember, he coached the bowl game. They would have been 0-4.
Right, and the Notre Dame fans aren't going to tolerate losing 4 or 5 straight games.
No,
I don't know if the administration put a lot of pressure on him to get rid of him that quick or not. I mean, the guy can coach. Don't misunderstand me, but I just I don't know how much the portal affects a Notre Dame. They're more likely to get players in than lose players. I'm just guessing that. I don't know that for sure. But when the Auburn, I got on there and read, but the Auburn, you know, they had pitchforks out already for the guy, and they were naming possible replacements. How long has he been there?
This is his second year.
And yeah, that's really not giving a guy a fair chance, I don't think. I mean, and they're looking at their future schedule in the Southeast Conference, and
they've got a problem. There's no question. I mean, some of this is what Gus Malzahn left behind. Some of this are guys who said, I'm not staying here, I'm leaving. Some of this is they didn't do a good job recruiting in the offseason. I mean, they were last in the SEC in recruiting. And you can just see it in, you know, I mean, I sit there and I put together charts all the time, so I know who the true freshmen are and so forth, or the redshirt freshmen, the guys he recruited, and they are not dotting that roster. And they don't have Southern roots in recruiting.
That's
a big part of it, too. I mean, and the athletic director that hired him is not the athletic director anymore. They got rid of him a month ago.
Yeah. I guess my point being is, if you want to coach college football and be in job security, you better coach at the Susquehanna or like Comer Juniata.
If you want to enjoy the job, yes.
because they have to go to work every day wondering if tomorrow's going to come and be a football coach in a lot of cases at this time, in this day and age.
I mean, I know you make a lot of money to do this, but geez, is there a point where the money balances out all the pain that goes with it? Because there's a lot of pain that goes with it. I mean, a lot of criticism, vultures circling. I just read a great article in The Athletic about Steve Wojciechowski, the former Marquette basketball coach, and he said he dreaded the day he got fired. It was crushing the day he got fired. And now today he feels liberated. He's not coaching right now. He feels liberated.
I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
It's a good point, though, Dick.
Thanks, Steve.
Good point. Thanks, Dick. It's a much better point than that offensive line point you made. I'm still baffled.
If you have those six offensive line packages, yeah, that's fine. But I'm talking when you have a normal set of five offensive linemen, I like to have that same five in there. That's what I'm trying to say. But like I said, whatever he's doing is working. We'll let it go.
Oh, you're done. Oh, good. Great. Feel like I'm at the post-game tailgate trying to enjoy myself. Boy, did we have fun yesterday at Penn's Tavern. Michelle, we had a blast. I just missed seeing Bullers.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I can't wait to tell the backup offensive lineman not to show up today. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. It's great to have Dick from Milton calling in. And he's right. I mean, I think Dick made a great point. We'll talk to Neil Coulong in a moment. By the way, did you see Apple TV Plus? Major League Baseball is not going to deviate from the schedule. Friday night's game.
No, senor! No, senor!
Friday night's game for the Yankees. I don't even know who they're playing. I mean, I don't know. Are they playing Greensboro?
I think it's Boston.
Oh, really? No, because it could be Greensboro because Gerrit Cole, I think, might pitch.
Or Worcester.
Yeah, good news. Hey, Garrett, can you go Friday? What's the team's record? Oh, jeez. All right.
Yeah,
it's
the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium.
This is your team. But it's going to be an Apple TV Plus. They're not changing the schedule.
Yeah, that's not a good move.
That's a horrible move. you want to showcase this moment. You want to take every opportunity you can to showcase this moment. This is the best of baseball right here in the regular season. And it's, again, I've said once, I've said many times on the show, I don't know who's really running that show on Park Avenue, but they need a total overhaul there. They missed the mark on so many things. This is one of them. This is a great showcase moment. How ESPN Kerry Cal Ripken Jr. breaking Lou Gehrig's record. Showcase moment. When McGuire broke Maris's record. National TV. Showcase moment. When Aaron broke Ruth's record. Monday Night Baseball. Showcase moment. Now they've got this. Apple TV Plus, which is a bad broadcast to begin with. Oh, my goodness. It's a shame. It's not what baseball fans deserve. It's not what Aaron Judge deserves. He deserves the showcase. By the way, Eagles played really well last night. Hurts played really, really well. I mean, really well. So, terrific win there, 2-0. The Bills, though, were just exceptional last night. It, I mean, really good. Both the home teams played great. We'll talk to Barrett Brooks. I guess we've never had him on the show. I don't know him, but he's on the last half hour of the show, and I'll let Matt talk to him. All right, so, you know, that way the two Eagle fans can bond, get together, you know.
Oh, my almighty!
You know, neither one realizes there are 15 games left, but that's okay. All right, so, but your schedule is horrible. I mean, my God.
Yeah, I was just going through it again, and you thought you had some good teams on there, but the way the season started so far, it is literally just Green Bay. That's a good point.
Right. But Buffalo is front-loaded, but then they look at the second half for Buffalo, and it slides. I mean, it eases up. Right? But the AFC is a little deeper than the NFC. That's probably a part of it. And plus, the Bills are playing a first-place schedule, and the Eagles are not. So that does enter into it from last year. Let's see. Well, the Eagles will be playing, I think, what, a second-place schedule.
Yeah.
But it's a second-place schedule in the NFC, though. That's the difference. All right, let's get to Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome. Great to have you with us. What's your thought on what you're seeing at quarterback? And is there a magic wand?
There's definitely not a magic wand. And I'll say this. I said this off air, too. I was at a speaking engagement where Brian Billick, the old Vikings and Vikings offensive coordinator, Ravens head coach, was speaking. He was talking about quarterbacks from a leadership perspective. He dipped into the talent side of it, which he made clear is they're really two different things, but they kind of blend together. His point was there are two types of quarterbacks. One, the ones that don't do what they're told, and two, the ones who only do what they're told. And his words were, I'll take the former of those two every time. Mitch is the latter of the two. After reviewing 9 quarters of play from him this year, I don't know. At first, I thought it was just he's not seeing what's deeper down the field, the opportunities that he might have. Right. And I get, you know, I'm not suggesting at all they just bomb the ball all day. It's probably not a good strategy, but you've got to throw open deeper stuff. I mean, I can't put it any more plainly than that. He's just not. At this point now, you give him a pass maybe in the first game. I thought Cincinnati did a great job in coverage. They looked really good. There weren't a whole lot of open opportunities. He holds on to the ball. You let your defense win. I get that on game-to-game strategy. New England, I don't feel, was as tight coverage-wise. I felt they had more opportunities. The Steelers adjusted from week one to week two, and their receivers were in better position in this game. And Trubisky, it's as if he's playing with 12 yards in front of him, and that's it. My theory on this is I really think what they've been coaching him on since he signed was don't turn the ball over. Don't make mistakes. We have a good defense. Play within what we have. We drafted a punter. we've spent way more money on our defense than our offense. You don't need to do a whole lot. If we're at the point, though, leading into week three, that my honest to God thought is they're telling him not to take chances, it's because I have no other explanation for what he's doing except for the fact that he is woefully inadequate to start in the NFL over an extended period of time. And I don't think that leash can be much shorter than it is right now. You're not going to pull him on a short week. It's just that there's too much. We've seen what happens when a new quarterback has to start in a short week situation. It's usually not good for a team. But if he plays at the level that he played the first 2 weeks against Cleveland, they'll lose the game. And on a mini bye week after that, you've got your 9 days to get ready for the Jets. I don't see there's any way in the world you could play him again. I don't. You know, Mike Tomlin will come up with a different reason if that's what he wants to do. And I don't even necessarily know if Kenny Pickett's going to be the guy they start. But if Trubisky does that again, they're not going to win this game. And I don't see how there's any way in the world you can keep with the guy. It's just he is bringing nothing to the table. He's taking stuff off the table. Like, you're setting the table, he's taking it off as you're doing it. Not a guy that you can continue to go into battle each week with, in my opinion. Maybe Mike Tomlin, Matt Canada view this differently, but I don't see how you can do that. Or at the very least, I can understand why Tomlin would be saying what he's saying publicly. There's just no way to evaluate his play to this point as being on par.
We see how. And I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky is Josh Allen. I'm not saying that. But there are a couple of elements that are similar, and Allen can run. Trubisky can run. Knowing that you've got a guy behind him in Pickett, would you run him more just to put more juice in the offense, even though there's a risk?
I'm not sold on the idea that Trubisky can run.
All right.
I think we've been sold the narrative that he can.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking about that with you back in March when he signed. He's not nearly the athlete that people think that he is. I'm not saying that he's not, but when the bar is 2021 Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, he's going to look like Carl Lewis. I get it, but he is not laterally that fast, and we've seen that. But the problem is, I don't think Trubisky really understands that either. Twice in two games, he's tried to outflank NFL edge defenders, which you know as well as I do, and just for the sake of the audience, your edge players and your cornerbacks are probably the best athletes on the field.
Yep.
There is no way Mitch Trubisky is outrunning those guys. Josh Allen, different story, okay? Mitch Trubisky is not Josh Allen, not even close.
Right.
And he got hemmed into the sideline both times, and instead of, you know, throwing the ball away like I would assume he's been trained to do, he took like 2 yard sacks. It's like, what if you're unable to run and you're not going to throw the ball, you are literally running out of your way in order for your team to lose yards. Those are boneheaded plays, and he makes them consistently. I don't know how much more that people need to see that he's not a runner. He has decent lateral mobility within the pocket. He can evade. He's quick in his first step. He is not fast. He's not a runner, okay? Watch Lamar Jackson versus Miami. That's a runner on the field. That is the best open field running quarterback we've ever seen by far. And there have been a lot of really good ones. Mitch Trubisky is really, now he's a slower Baker Mayfield. He's a guy that I thought what I said on him was, if you're third and four, he might be able to outrun an open edge to the sticks. It's going to be close. He might take a hit from a safety in doing that, but he's not breaking guys' ankles in the middle of the field and running for 40 yards. He's just not even close to that mobile of a quarterback. You might get 10 yards a game from him running, but you probably don't want him running that much. At the same time, though, it seems the Steelers' offense, whether by design or just this is the way that it's turned out, their receivers are better runners than their running backs are right now. Maybe they want to try the quarterback and doing that a little bit more. I'm not sure. They're not running the ball overall especially well. Trubisky, in my opinion, shouldn't be contributing a whole lot to that, but if that's what they need to do, scheme up and design some stuff for him to do it, get him on the move a little bit. But it seems like they're pretty stuck in what they have. With a quarterback who doesn't see the field particularly well, he can evade pressure, but he's not beating an NFL athlete to the point where he's able to get north and gain yards.
This should be a segment where, hey, they got a chance to be 3-1. Cleveland without Watson, and the Jets without anybody. So yeah, you feel like this. It feels wrong. I mean, am I right about that? It just feels like it should be a good segment for the Steelers. Yet it just doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right in my mind because I understand the concept behind a win is a win. It's a pretty logical statement. It's not real hard to understand. But at the same time, the manner in which you win, if it's something that is really not repeatable, certainly not sustainable, that win represents only that. It doesn't represent success. It doesn't represent something that you can lean on later on. The win that you have represents right now the win on the scoreboard. Also, the loss of T.J. Watt for an extended period of time. It represents a win that was had by virtue of the other team losing its long snapper, which cost them two missed kicks. Both of them would have won the game for the team.
It
is a win. That's true. This is an 0-2 team on the field, and I think everybody knows that. They're lying to themselves if they don't. You're playing a team in Cleveland now that, yeah, it was absolute wild. I don't even know if that's ever been done before. What was it, a minute 20? Something like 80 seconds. They scored two touchdowns and recovered an onside kick and got a defensive stop. A complete reversal of fortune. Really, the kind of 10,000-foot level parity that the NFL wants. You can't turn your back on anybody for any stretch of time in this league because that can happen. I'm not sure how they lost Garrett Wilson deep the way that they did, but it's just like, wow. We don't know who Cleveland is. We're not sure what they are, but we know it's a prime time home game for them in a short week. That tends to favor the home team. And I said this at the start of the year. I don't know if Cleveland is really lived up to this as much as I would have thought, but talent-wise, they have one of the best rosters in the NFL.
Yeah.
And their Achilles heel is going to be the fact that it's going to be a while until they get a good quarterback on the field. What's going to happen when it's almost a virtual certainty that their not good quarterback is going to outplay the other quarterback on the field? I don't see how they're going to lose that game. Jacoby Brissett is not a great player, but we know exactly who he is and what he's capable of doing. That is a lot more than what we have seen Mitch Trubisky do to this point. So to me, in these types of games, which tend to be more conservative, kind of grinded out, they're able to play that style better than what the Steelers can. And they have the energy of being at home. They have the lack of travel. It's tough to see. I'll say this. I've bet against the Steelers, Tomlin Steelers, over the last 25, 26, 27 games, many times in which I didn't think they had a chance of winning the game, and they ended up winning it. Everything on paper leading into this, I don't see how the Steelers can start their season 2-1. I mean, it would baffle me if they won, and I think something will have happened if they did. But Cleveland can get things together. They can put things together in kind of a tough time for them. The Steelers, at this point now, they're just not a complete offensive team. And they're down their most explosive defensive player. That's going to – we saw the Patriots scheme up their defense to a high level. They did a great job in protection.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did. That was a lights-out performance by the Bills in terms of – or the Patriots, excuse me, in terms of their pass protection. And we know that because, frankly, Mac Jones did not play well.
Right.
He didn't play a very good game. It's getting to the point where they're playing teams that play quarterbacks that have not played well. Yes, there's a defensive component that comes into it, but Jones was bad. I don't think Jones would have beaten many teams with the performance that he had on Sunday. And Burrow turned the ball over five times and still had two chances to win the game. At some point, a quarterback is going to play an average level, and I don't know the Steelers are capable of doing that or beating a team that has that on their side.
the Steelers have been at or near the top for a couple of decades now. Do you think this fan base can handle a season of mediocrity?
Denial is a heck of a drug.
Oh, that's the motto of this show.
To be honest with you, last year's team, you're looking up at mediocrity. I mean, I've said this, and I'll defend it. In Kevin Colbert's 20 years as the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think they had a worse team than what they had last year. They were bad. They were fundamentally bad. They probably were a 5 or 6 win team.
Right.
And they got, I don't want to call it luck, although that is a component for everybody. It's just too simplified. They got three or four of their wins were flukes. They really were. And it was the most bizarre season. And for them to start off with another one of those against Cincinnati, at some point, the law of averages tells us this isn't going to continue. They're going to lose. Mm-hmm. But everybody will say, well, they won 9 games. They didn't lose 10 of the games that they played. The other shoe's got to fall at some point. You lost Watt early. I think that's part of that other shoe falling. This is a significantly challenged offensive team in a lot of ways. And what it's really going to resort to isn't talking about whether the Steelers are mediocre or not. It's who's to blame for it. And right now it seems the leader at the clubhouse is offensive coordinator Matt Canada. I'll say this. Coordination is extremely important. Scheme is extremely important. There are millions upon millions of dollars at multiple levels of football that go into those concepts. I don't know many of them that are quarterback agnostic, which is to say, if you have a bad quarterback, your scheme doesn't matter a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. In the NFL, this is most important. Division III, if you have a quarterback that can run, you can probably do a lot of schematic stuff and be a dominant team. If you don't have to throw all that much, you have to throw in the NFL. Look at the Jets, look at the Dolphins. The ability to throw the ball is critically important for 4 quarters in the game. The Steelers do not have even a semblance of a passing game right now, but the good news is they can't run the ball either. That's on your offensive coordinator for sure. Not letting Matt Canada off the hook. You're the chef. The ingredients might not have been exactly what you wanted, but you're being paid to make a meal, mm-hmm. and a real good meal right now. You're accountable to that. I'm not saying that he needs to, remain with the team past this season. I don't think you can fire your offense coordinator and get better results when you don't have a quarterback that can play in the NFL. It's as simple as that to me. If Canada's fate is tied to the quarterback position, he's in trouble. It's that simple. I don't know what else you can do, but you can't scheme up Mitch Trubisky to be an effective NFL quarterback, not with the decisions that he makes, not with the fact that you watch him and it's perplexing how he's missing these receivers on the field. He needs to be able to see that. He needs to be able to step into his throws. He needs to stay in the pocket to do that and deliver an accurate ball. He doesn't do any of those things. That's not a scheme concern. That's a quarterback concern. Get a better quarterback in there, at least one that is going to let a rip a little bit more and maybe turn the ball over more than Trubisky has, but it's going to lead to more points at the end of the day anyway. Until you have that, I'm having a real tough time fully evaluating the scheme that they have in place. And I'm 90% sure I said the exact same thing last season. So a quarterback was paramount then. It's paramount now. You see the pressure building on Kenny Pickett right now because he's going to have to step up at some point. I don't think it's a very good bet to say Trubisky's going to play 17 games. At some point, he's going to need to step in and lead the team to some points because the guy they have right now can't do it.
So you're, to sum up, hope is not a strategy. just want to make sure we got it right here. All right. Neil, always, my friend, a pleasure.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulong. I want you to remember that, Matt. Hope is not a strategy.
I'll do my best.
I hope what I said was right on the show. Hope, not a strategy, Matt. All right. I hope Aaron Judge hits a home run. Not a strategy. I hope he doesn't become a Met. The series of shows after he goes to the Mets are going to be some of the best we've ever had. All gone. All right. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.